I cannot make an omelet. All right. I have tried to make an omelet. I make fantastic cheesy scrambled eggs when I'm trying to make an omelet. Everyone, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. You know I'm your host, Bob Mann, and I am joined by the chef over at Falco's Catering, not to mention the first ever America Pro League Fantasy Football Champion.
Yes, sir.
My good friend, the good brother, Mr. Dan Joyce. What's up, man? How are you?
Good, Rob. Good to see you, brother. Yeah, thank you for having me come in.
Dude, thanks for coming over. Dude, we were talking about doing a cooking podcast. Obviously, I need your help, man, so this is why you're here. Dan makes good food. I've had the pleasure of eating some of his eggs and some of his meals. He's famous for a lot of things, man. So let's get into it. Before we talk about the food, tell us a little bit about your background, your education, and did you always grow up liking cooking and stuff like that? How did this all start?
Yeah. Thanks, Rob. Listen, you know, I started out not really enjoying cooking at all. I was started out in the kitchen with my mom. We were baking and just making cakes and cookies. It wasn't anything about like cooking any types of meals at all.
Okay.
So, you know, it was kind of interesting, you know, but I always knew that that's what I wanted to do and just get into that field. So I went to culinary school.
Okay.
And in culinary school, they throw everything at you. It's not just one field.
You don't choose. Yeah.
So, you know, it was really cool where I got to see every aspect of cooking. And that's when I fell in love with food. Because you can really make it your own.
Yeah.
When baking, it's like, okay, you follow a recipe, that's it. This is how it is. This is the time, the temperature. You got to be precise in your ingredients.
I got you, yeah.
Food, though, I was like, oh, I can do this. I could put, you know, goat cheese with caramelized onions and figs on a pizza. Oh, well, I'm in, you know?
Yeah, he's giving away some of his secrets already. That's because it's like, you know, kind of a parallel here. I always say, you know, when I'm teaching drums, you know, whoever the student is, you know, if your name's Jim or whatever. So, you know, you got, you know, you play, you know, what I showed you how to play. Now you got to give it that Jim flavor. You know, I use the word flavor, you know, so it's a little
spice it up.
Yeah. Spice it up, man. So you got some secrets already. I can tell, man. That's awesome. So speaking of some of your secrets here, you know, Mike's always telling me, you know, we all know Mike, obviously from the wrestling panel, Dan's brother-in-law, basically he's always talking about your fried turkey, your barbecue sauce. You got some other specialties, man. Tell us about the fried turkey. How does that work, man? I've never had it.
Yes. Mike is my big supporter on that one.
Yeah. Apparently, you know, not the only one.
You know, it's funny. I brought that out like maybe 7 years ago, and I just kept hearing about it, reading about it, and I was like, I gotta learn about this. It looks really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do my research because I don't want to blow up my house like a lot of people do.
Yeah, I hear a lot of stories. You know,
So I'm going to delve into this and just dive in and just really make sure I do it right. Mm-hmm. So I got all the right equipment. I made sure I got a nice turkey fryer. I got a high butane, you know, because we live in New Jersey where it's cold and for Thanksgiving, so forget it. And, you know, I started researching. The first year I did it was not bad. And then I started brining the turkey. Now, brining is you make sure you get all seasoned up on the turkey before you cook it. Because it only takes 45 minutes to cook a turkey in a fryer.
Okay.
So you can't season it. You know, that's, you slow roast a turkey for 4 or 5 hours, it's going to get all those nice juices and, you know, everything going. You got to make sure you get nice and, you know, ready. So I started doing some different things. So, you know, messing around. My famous one now is a bourbon brown sugar. It's unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
Dude, now I'm just going to have to periodically stop by.
So we're just going to have to just hang out. And
dude, that's awesome. And what is what's the common thing I hear about the fried turkey? People use too much oil, or is that how they get in trouble?
You know, it just – you got to do your research. It's dangerous if you don't do it right. You know, now they even have pots that you buy a pot, and it tells you where to fill it.
Yeah.
You fill it over that line, you're done.
Probably a reason why they did that.
Exactly.
That's crazy. Before we get into all the cooking stuff, I've never done a podcast where I'm, maybe when I did Purple Glaze, but where I'm just salivating as we speak. Man, I'll try not to drool all over the microphone here. But so when we were hanging out at Mike's bachelor party, we were chatting, and you told me you worked in Vegas, and now I know you are from Jersey, right? You
originally, born and raised,
right? Born and raised, right? So I was like, oh, you were in Vegas. I had no idea. And you're telling me, oh, you used to cook for all these celebrities and these big parties, and all these celebrities would come in. And I guess just to be courteous and just very classy and say, thanks, Dan. And who were a couple of guys? I think you mentioned Jack Nicholson came in. And tell us a little bit about working in Vegas.
Yeah, it was really cool. So while I was in culinary school, in between your first and second year, you got to do an externship. And basically the externship is, you know, go out in the field, and you learn a lot from a new place that you've never been to before, and they're going to rate you as far as, you know, tell you all the steps. So you can go anywhere you want. My uncle lived out in Vegas, so he knew somebody who knew somebody. So he said, why don't you come out here? I'll get you hooked up at this restaurant. And at that time, it was at the Palms Casino. It was called Nine Steakhouse.
Nice.
It's a really hot restaurant at the time, which it might still be. I'm not really sure. And everybody was there. You know, I went in and I started working on the line and cooking. And they took me under their wing, which was really cool. And they had a lot of celebrities go in there.
Yeah.
So while I was cooking, they do some celebrities would be eating out there and come to the kitchen and say, hey, thanks. You know, I appreciate that.
Well, I guess they liked your food.
So that was really cool. And then there was times where we do big, extravagant parties. And there was one, it was like a movie party, and I was outside by the pool cooking, and here comes, you know, Mr. Jack Nicholson.
Wow.
Walks up to me. I got my chef coat on. Mm-hmm. Says Dan on it. You know, it looks at me, says, thanks, Dan. I mean, come on. There's nothing better than that.
Dude,
you know?
How many people could say that, man? That was good for you, man. I guess he liked your food. Yeah. That's so cool.
A lot of fun.
All right. And, of course, now Dan's over at Falco's Catering doing a great job over there. So here comes all the cooking questions for you, man. And please, like, I don't cook a super lot, but usually, like, Thursday nights, you know, I come home from work and I'll start cooking something. I've been more creative lately. I just started making different things. I made, like, vegetable lo mein the other day, which is, like, really different for me. You know, nice. Trying to make things
for
the wife.
Good, yeah.
You know, that she can eat, you know, being a vegetarian and all that. We'll talk about that stuff a little bit. But and feel free to jump in here, man. As someone, you know, who's slowly learning to cook more and more, I'm noticing attention to detail is everything, man. Defrosting things. Ask me how I learned this. So important. Cooking temperature, man. Like, cooking at low temperatures for certain things.
Well, you know, it always depends on exactly what you want to cook. Sure. You know, it depends how hard and elaborate you want to get to.
Yeah, yeah.
But like you said, attention to detail is a huge thing.
Sure.
A lot of people can over-season. A lot of people under-season.
Yeah.
Because they're scared. They don't want to, like, go crazy. Some people have a heavy hand. They put a lot of salt in it, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a learning progress. And it's not something that's just going to happen, you know. Yeah, I went to school. I worked, you know. But I learned most of my stuff just from over the years.
Yeah.
I'm still learning.
Yeah.
You know, like, people, you know, they're always, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have, you know, this pride about them. And, you know, I went to school and I'm a chef and I worked at this restaurant, that restaurant. I'm not that kind of guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot, but I'm still learning. And I'll always be learning. And I appreciate other people's food that I know I do good. So, you know, I make a great jambalaya.
Nice.
But
nice.
I'm going to go to this Cajun place down the street because I'm sure they do a great jambalaya too.
Yeah,
you know, because
yeah.
I appreciate someone else's take on it or something like that.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
Dan really is like that, man. Like, I'll say, oh, you know, like, Dan, I want to do this, man. And you're like, oh, you know, that place is really great. You know, like, I've had it. Yeah, they're great, you know. So Dan is totally like that, man. And that's
I always say, leave your pride at the door.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got something to learn.
Dude, I love it.
And that's every day in life, too. I mean, come on.
We're learning life lessons.
Exactly.
I'm the same way, bro. I love it. Dan's good people. All right. What else was I going to say? Seasoning, we talked about that a little bit. You know, like you said, the salt, man. I'm careful with the salt and garlic. I love garlic on everything, man.
Can't grow on garlic.
Dude.
Garlic, extra garlic.
Salt. Yeah.
Sometimes I'm a little too much, but I don't care. For me, it's good.
Dude, what else was I going to say? So cooking temperature, seasoning, defrosting. Now, real quick, cooking meats and stuff like this, I really have, like, no knowledge. Mm-hmm. I know, like, some things need to be, like, cooked slowly or smoked. But one thing I wanted to ask you about, my dad's good at some of these, too. But I have some good seasonings I like to throw on meats. I have this one called roadkill seasoning my nice. Aunt gave me from Alabama. It's really good.
Yeah.
Marinades. I know nothing about marinades. Tell me, how would I make a marinade? How do I go about
it? You know, it's funny. I'm not a big marinade guy.
Oh, okay.
I'm really not.
Okay.
I'm more of like a natural, you know, let's okay. get just salt and pepper on that bitch and get it on the grill. You know, yeah, like yeah. seriously, you know?
Yeah.
Like if we're talking about a steak or something. But if you need something that needs to get marinated, because it has to break down some enzymes or something like that, that's where you add like your vinegars and, you know, some sort of acid. Acid will always break down a little tougher meat.
Okay.
So if you have like a cheaper cut of meat, you marinate it for 24 hours in like a high acid marinade or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll help break it down, and then you roast it or whatever you want to do with it, you know. So
interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we can dive into other recipes and stuff like that another time, or yeah. you can put it on your site, you know. Oh, yeah, so I'll dude. Give you something,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Man.
So, you know, cuz I can, you know, get into that for you, because I think it's always something that people always say, "Oh, I'm going to marinate this chicken." Yeah, it's great, you know. You don't have to, if you want to put some sort of flavor on it, that's great, but don't marinate it for so many hours.
Right.
I mean, it's going to change it a little bit, but toss it in that salt, the marinade you have, and cook it, you know, like maybe for like 20, 30 minutes, you're good, you know.
I got you, man.
Some people are so nervous about that, you know.
Yeah, no, dude, mm-hmm. I'm like at that point, you know, where I'm trying things and I am kind of like nervous about everything, so I'm real careful. Yeah. This is why you're here, man. And also, real quick, you like well done stuff. You like
come
tender
on.
Stuff.
Come
like,
on, well done. Don't get out of my house.
Yeah.
Anything you. Over medium, forget about it. You know.
Yeah, I understand, man. Real quick, I wanted to ask you this, man. For a while, you know, I should probably go back to doing this, man. But for a while, I was doing like the grilled chicken and rice, trying to eat a little healthier mm-hmm. to stick with the grilled chicken. And the grilled chicken got so boring after a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used a lot of those seasonings. I used like, you know, different, like different dressings and stuff like that. It's like anything to give it some flavor, anything. I eat a lot of chicken, man. Anything, any like advice with cooking chicken or spicing it up or anything like
that? You know, I mean, is that your thing, chicken? Do you eat fish?
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, you know, like you can go the yeah. same route that you're doing with chicken, but
yeah, fish
just get like
good,
a little
yeah.
teriyaki sauce, put on some salmon.
Teriyaki,
you
all
know,
right.
just let that soak up for 20 minutes, sear it in a pan, or just roast it in the oven.
Okay.
I mean, really, you know, you can go any route you want, but you know, chicken's chicken, and you can do anything with that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's.
I eat chicken almost every day.
Yeah, you know, good. But I understand what you're saying. It gets a little. Repetitive after
yeah,
a while,
I
so
too much over here.
Yeah, especially when you're trying to do the health kick.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah, should get back into that. Yeah, it didn't last very long.
Not my forte.
All right, another big reason I wanted to have you here. I wanted to talk about eggs because, first of all, man, where do I even begin? My wife, like, we have so many eggs in the fridge at all times. She eats so many eggs. You know, she's not vegan; she's vegetarian.
Yeah, which
so
is
I always,
cool.
I always tease her. You know, like, what are you gonna have today? Like. Lettuce or eggs or beans, you know, like she's got limited options just as a vegetarian. So there's always eggs, and I finally got good at cooking eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of started with like, I always like my eggs yellow and fluffy, like scrambled eggs, like that. I was always good at, you know, I don't like any burned or, you know, or too watery or anything like that.
Right.
But when we did Mike's bachelor party, you made eggs for everybody. And they were some of the best eggs that I ever had.
Since then,
I've been trying to kind of recreate the Dan Joyce eggs. And I think I'm coming close because I'm even getting compliments from Kate and Cassie. I'm like, these are the best eggs you ever made. Like, they're really good. So I'm starting to
get. So tell me what
there.
You're doing that you're making
I'm
it better.
Garlic and salt. Like, a little, just like okay. the flavoring. And
you can know, I tell you what makes the best scrambled egg?
If you want to give it away, man.
Because yeah. This is something that, you know, a lot of people are doing lately, but this is something I've been doing a lot for a long time. For a scrambled egg, to make a nice, fluffy scrambled egg, especially if you're not going for the health kick at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Add a little bit of heavy cream to it.
That's
the
it.
The fat content in the heavy cream will help it keep fluffy and delicious and that nice, moist texture to it.
Okay.
You know, you can add whole milk, people say, too. But you add skim milk, you pretty much add water, you know? So
yeah.
You know, a lot of people, they like to add milk. You know, some people just add water, too, because they want to, like, loosen it up a little bit. But heavy cream, just a little bit. And don't overbeat your eggs. You overbeat the eggs before you put them in the pan. you're adding too much air to it, so it's just gonna, it's not gonna be, it's gonna be light and airy and fluffy, but it's not gonna taste like a scrambled egg. Oh, you know, like, wow. Nice and like, you want that, like you're saying, like a little to the mouth, right? Like the, yeah, little touch to the, you know, like not so overcooked, you know, because
that's so interesting that you say that. I was literally gonna ask you, because I was gonna say, like, I thought you were supposed to kind of get the air in there, like I thought that was like good, that you don't
want
to,
you want just enough to, you know, get a little beaten and stuff like that, but don't, okay, go over crazy. Once you start getting, seeing the foam up, I think it's a little too much because you're adding all that air into it.
Oh man.
And me personally, I don't know, I mean, there's, you can go, you can, go ahead. Go online right now.
Yeah, no, man.
You'll see 15 different recipes for the best, yeah, scrambled eggs.
And there's like,
and I'm serious about, yeah, that. Yeah. It's crazy out there, you know. Like,
hey, man, yours were the best I've tasted. So
I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you.
Really good. So that's what I'm trying to get to. Yeah. Man. But and I was trying. Sometimes I would use water. Sometimes I would use a little bit of milk. But you're saying heavy cream.
It's got a higher fat content, but only a little bit.
I'm just gonna try that.
Because if you go too much, then it's just gonna be just a little dense, like, you know, like just like got that taste in your mouth, you know. Yeah.
And again, with eggs, like cooking temperature, man. Like if you crank that pan, like you're
gonna. Oh, burn. Yeah, so yeah, you know what? Yeah, yeah.
Keep them moving.
Good question, because you know what? That's another thing too. People just want to get the pan, get the eggs in the pan, cook them, done. See you later.
Walk away. Yeah.
If you make a scrambled eggs, make a nice scrambled egg, medium heat, just nice and low. Maybe a little bit of butter, a little spray oil, whatever you want to use, yep, but never go higher than medium heat. Once you get medium high, you know, it's just, you're not looking for that. You want a fried egg? Sure, you want a fried egg that's, you know, that's quick and, yeah, hot, yeah, and, you know, ready. But when you scramble eggs, you want nice and low and just spread it back and forth at the spatula and just let it go, you know?
Absolutely, man. Good stuff. Look, I got to poke fun at myself here. I cannot make an omelet, all right? I have tried to make an omelet. I make fantastic cheesy scrambled eggs. When I'm trying to make an omelet, I make some good cheesy scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
You know, I get it has a lot to do with the temperature and, mm-hmm, the flip. That's a, yeah, big part, man. So Dan was actually nice enough, and I think you're going to show me a little bit how to make an omelet. He even got me a nice little pan. Like,
yeah, I brought you one of my favorite omelet pans over. It's yours to keep, a little gift for you, because I know you always talk about a nice omelet.
Classic.
So, you know, this is one of those things that, if you want to make an omelet, an omelet should never be more than 2 to 3 eggs, too. So you want to make 5, 6 egg omelet.
Oh, okay.
That's not an omelet anymore. That's just a big, you know.
Okay.
You're getting into a frittata at that point, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's another day, you know. Yeah. But seriously, though, you know, it's a nice little 7-inch round pan, nonstick. I know a lot of people are a little weary about the nonstick because once you scratch it and get that stuff in there, mm-hmm, it's not good to eat, you know.
Yeah.
That's why you got to make sure you really, you know, use a nice spatula, rubber spatula, rubber spatula, you know, just, mm-hmm, and that's really low too. That's a medium low temperature when you want to make an omelet.
Yeah.
Because you want to go, you know, get your pan nice and warm. Butter, always use butter too for an omelet too, because the fat content in the butter will help it, you know, loosen up from the pan. And just go back and forth, add your cheese at the end, and you're good to go. Nice. I'll show you later though.
Dude,
but,
I appreciate it. This is huge, man. Yeah.
Because it's actually a science. And you know what? For Falco's Catering, we do a lot of brunches where we have omelet stations. And it's one of those things that, you know, I can crank out some omelets because I know exactly what I'm doing. And, you know, I got a party of 200 people and they're just rolling through because, you know, I can do 3-4 at a time.
Wow. I can't do one. So that's awesome.
But it's all about the pan. It's all about the temperature, time, temperature. You know, I mean, it's all in there on one thing. It's not something you could just make real quick and just move on.
Nice, man. I take good care of myself, so I'll take care of that pan. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Also, little known fact, Dan gave me his chair years ago, and it is super comfortable. I take very good care of that. What a guy.
Off topic, but you're welcome.
Yeah. Well, real quick, got to ask you this, man. Pork roll or Taylor ham? Got to ask you that.
Pork roll.
Dude, correct.
Where are we?
You are not getting kicked out. Good
Where
job.
Where are we?
Man.
Come on.
Just a test question, man. Dude, you glad you live in New Jersey
John
again?
Taylor made pork roll.
Boom. End of story. Love it, man. All right, we're going to head over to the kitchen now, and Dan is going to show me how to finally make an omelet. We'll be right back. Hey, guys, be a part of the Bob Culture Podcast by supporting me on Patreon.com. That's Patreon.com/Bob Culture Podcast for some great incentives. All right, we are in the Bob Cave kitchen over here with Mr. Dan, Chef Dan Joyce, I should say. And he is teaching me how to make an omelet, hopefully successfully. We shall see. What are we doing over here?
Here we go, Rob. Okay, so I took 2 eggs. I cracked them in the bowl. I just beat them just enough to get them, you know, beaten and ready to roll.
Okay. A little bit of air.
No, yeah, not too much. You don't want it. I remember I said before about scrambled eggs. I want to, you know, put a little fat in it, some milk or heavy cream. That's always my secret. Not with an omelet. Straight eggs with an omelet.
Okay. Didn't know that.
Don't add anything else to it, otherwise it will not.
That might be part of my problem, man. Because I always put like milk in, like I'm making scrambled eggs.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yep, that's exactly.
No way.
So here I am. I got flame on like about medium right now.
Okay.
Getting the butter nice and melty.
Smells good.
Warming up your little new fresh pan over here.
Yes, thank you very much. And how long would we heat the pan up for, just till the butter kind of melts?
I want to make sure it melts, kind of, you know, dancing around in the pan a little bit. But you also don't want it to burn. So
yeah.
Keep it nice and low. Take your time. Enjoy yourself for a sec.
How much your day is like preheating and prepping and all that?
Right.
Yeah, a lot of it.
But, you know, you do it ahead of time and everything else comes with it, you know. It's all good. All right, so we got the pan nice and hot, ready to roll.
How many eggs we got?
I got two eggs. I beat them up.
Okay.
And I'm toss them in the pan now.
It's making good noises.
Like I said, nice and low.
Is there a...
Let the pan do the work.
Yeah, let the pan do the work. I feel like there's feelings involved. I feel like there's a certain vibe we need here. Now, the flip, I know, is the tricky part.
That's the trick.
Well, I guess I was using milk or... Did you put any water in or
nothing? Nothing. Okay. It's nothing. It's just straight eggs. Beaten lightly. I'm just pulling from each side.
So they're constant. You're constantly moving. Like, you're constantly on this.
Gotta keep it rolling. But not too fast.
Oh, I like that pan.
See that?
I like that pan.
See what I put in there? Like, no butter at all. Not sticking at all. Wow. That's the whole key. Just move those eggs around. They're nice and cooked. Take your time.
Nice. Wow. I would never have this much. Is it the pan, or we're just doing it right here, or what?
It's all about...
finesse.
Just making love to your eggs.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm going to turn up just a little bit.
Okay.
Because I want to flip it. And if it's not hot enough, it'll... All right, now I'm going to flip it, right?
Okay. Wow. Are you kidding me?
Flipped it right over.
Now, Dan has just flipped it in the pan. I don't even try that. Is that what I'm supposed to do? Flip it like that? Like
now you have to cook the other side. It's only going to take no time at all. This is the point where we want to put the cheese in. All right?
Okay.
Flip it over like you're making an omelet.
Look at that. Not even burnt or anything. That is yellow, perfect egg.
Let it set for a minute.
And another flip.
And you're good to go.
Good to go, man. I'm taking a picture.
All right.
Dan, you're the man.
All right.
All right, I'm hungry. Let's dig in, man.
All right, Dan. Thanks for showing me how to make an omelet, man. Finally, hopefully, I don't mess this up, and I can send you pictures now.
Yeah, no worries. I know you'll get it. You're good.
We shall see. Wanted to ask you, man. Now, obviously, you know I live with a vegetarian. Nowadays, you know, a lot of allergies. A lot of kids I teach have allergies. A lot of dietary restrictions or beliefs. A lot of people are gluten free. Stuff like that. What's that like for you in the kitchen, man?
You know, it's really interesting now because it started with like a little allergies here and there when I was working in restaurants. Someone would come in and be like, oh, can you make sure you don't have any onions in that dish?
Yeah.
Can you make sure that the apple doesn't touch this dish or whatever, you know? So it was one of those things that I was like, okay, you know, it's out there and you deal with it. You know, now I'm working for a catering company. I'm not working in a restaurant anymore. So you really got to make sure that when you're making 200 pieces of chicken, if one person's gluten-free, that's a whole separate entity. You know, because sometimes, you know, it could really mess someone up. And it's a big deal.
Yeah,
you know, I take it very seriously now. You know, it's one of those things that I thought as a joke, and I used to, come on, you know, who's gluten free? Everybody's gluten free these days, you know, this and that, blah, ha, ha, ha.
Sure.
But you know what? It's a serious thing. You know, there's a lot of, there's big allergies out there. Yeah. And if you don't take it seriously, someone's going to get hurt.
I appreciate
that. You know, and I listen. Someone says, you know, I have dietary restrictions, can't have any butter, oil, whatever. I'll make you something. I'll do whatever I can to make sure that you are fed and you're happy. I might not have exactly what you're looking for, but I'm going to do my best I can.
Yeah.
And I take it seriously. You know, I think it's something that, you know, we should all understand. If you're doing it just to do it, which I've seen before too, you know, whatever. But
yeah,
you know, I think that either way, I'm still gonna take it serious because that's my job on the line.
Totally. Yeah.
So that's my reputation. Mm-hmm. So if someone got sick because I said, oh, who cares? I'm going to put flour on this, and you're gluten-free. I don't care about you, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's not my reputation, you know? I don't want that on me.
I gotcha.
So, but, you know, I really do take pride in what I do, so.
Is it getting easier to find, like, substitutes?
You know, and that's the funny part, too. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. There's so many different options out there now that you can use. You know, right off the bat, you know, instead of using butter and flour to thicken a sauce, I'll use the cornstarch thickener, you know.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, there's just so much, there's so many gluten free pastas out there now, you know. But not just to dive into the gluten free, but, you know, because that's one of the main things right now. But anything, you know, if you got all these different options, which is really, really cool, you know, they have a lot out there to help, you know, people. You know, the vegetarian thing, you know, I think it's, you know, actually pretty cool to see the vegan and vegetarian that's becoming something. And
yeah, totally. Yeah, more.
I've seen more of it. And, you know, and my wife is actually a big vegetarian at this point, you know.
Oh, really?
She'll eat probably meat only once a day if she does, but most of her meals and her dietary is vegetarian.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you don't need all that in your system. You know, sometimes I feel like we eat too much of it. And,
dude, that's all. I'm a meat,
you know, I'm a meat guy, and I'll never stop being a meat guy. Yeah. But, you know, I do appreciate to see, you know, that, you know, you're more well-balanced.
Yeah, taking care of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we have to take care of ourselves. We got, you know, four kids, so.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, man, great dad
you
over here.
You got to keep up with them, you know.
I bet. Yeah, man. Keep you on your toes. Man.
But, it's really cool, you know, and I think that there's a lot out there. So, you know, just keep researching because you'll find something. And you go to the food store, there's a whole section, you know, so.
It's getting better.
You know, I don't really drink, I don't drink cow's milk anymore. I just drink almond milk.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I only drink it just to drink it, but I don't drink cow's milk. It doesn't really sit well with me. You know, something about cow's milk is interesting, you know. Yeah. Never really, you know, sat well with me, so.
I gotcha.
But, you know, there's a lot of different things out there that you can, you know, options and.
Totally, man. And you know, I'm kind of exploring those venues every day. You know, if I'm cooking for Kate, she used to eat a lot of like that. Well, I don't want to say any brand names or anything, but she used to eat a lot of that tofu and soy and she, you know, just like those fake chickens and fake whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up, you know, getting sick just from eating it all the time because it's not real.
Yeah.
Like, it's all like substitute. And now she's got like such a better diet now. You know, she's on top of everything. She eats really healthy, and she gets enough protein now, which was a big problem in the past because she doesn't eat meat.
Right.
She gets enough protein. You know, she counts it every day, which is really great. And so I try to get creative and cook some stuff for her. Like I try to make like a chicken cordon bleu. I'm using air quotes. You can't see chicken cordon bleu, not really chicken. You know, just get kind of like cheese and stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And
very cool.
I'm always careful. You know, if I'm cooking for me and her at the same time, we got two pans. We got different utensils. You know, I am a pro at like not touching.
Good
things,
for you.
Man. Hey, man. I respect
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So I got to ask you, man, like any tips you got for me or not vegan necessarily, but vegetarian for Kate, like you know, things I should do or any ideas or, you know, for like what do you do for vegetarians?
I mean, like you were talking about before, you mean, you know, vegetable lo mein and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, I tried
you
that.
Know it, but really it's all about using nice vegetables.
Oh, okay.
A lot of it.
Uh-huh.
Don't go too much into tofu. People want to just automatically use tofu as a substitute.
Yeah.
Too much of that dough is really not good for you.
So
that's
a
processed product. People think, oh, it's just straight soy. It's not really straight soy. That's a processed product, and it'll really not make you feel good after a while. You know,
we learned that the hard way.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're aware of this.
Yeah,
this is something you've
this
heard.
Is yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of processed stuff out there. I did say there's a lot of options out there, but it's all about how you make it and, you know, doing it on a, you know, small scale because really. Vegetarian, I think, is awesome, you know, like, especially because, you know, you can still use your eggs. You can, you know, you're
Thank
not,
goodness, yeah.
Yeah, you can still use the cheese. Vegan is when it starts getting a little tougher out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, I try my best to really see if I, because, you know, we do some things sometimes where people ask for some vegan products. So, you know, I try and do my best to, you know, take care of them also, you know.
I know Oreos are vegan, little known fact, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. I did hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's got to be hard.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's different. It's cool. I mean, it's all natural. You know, that's what you got to remember. You know, if it doesn't come from the earth, and don't eat it. You know,
it's good.
Look at ingredients all the time. You never know if you're gonna get some sort of processed stuff out there. But just always look at the ingredients.
Good stuff, man. Good, some good guidelines, man. I appreciate it. And of course, I thought this would be fitting, man. We got to, you know, we had our courses over here. You know, we dealt with everything. Got to end with dessert, man. You dessert. Know, you said you like to make some
like
desserts.
I said, that's how I started, you know, and that's
right.
In the kitchen with my mom, making cakes, you know, that's her that's thing nice. That she did with her mom, you know, so it was really just a cool thing to, you know, have with your mom and, you know, baking, this and that. And that was something that I really wanted to pursue for a long time, too. Actually, it's funny. After I graduated from college, I always had this idea of doing like a dessert bar.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I did say I love cooking, which I always will and always do. But dessert has always been my passion, always will be my passion. Mm-hmm. But there was this thing. I had this idea. I don't know if it would ever work around here. Maybe. I wanted like a late night dessert bar. It serves like, you know, dessert cordials. Like, you know, it has, but also just like really cool, elegant desserts and stuff like that. Upscale. Something just really out there and interesting, fancy, you know, just late night. And it was funny. I just came across something on the internet the other day. This guy opened this dessert bar in New York City, and he's doing exactly that. He's got a full bar. You can sit at the bar. You can do a 6-course dessert meal.
That sounds awesome.
I was really impressed. I sent a note to the guy. I said, I'm you know, good for you. I'm happy
class
for
act. I like
I said, this is something I always wanted to do. I said, so I told my wife and I said, we got to go there and check this guy out. I think he's doing exactly what I always wanted to do. And
hey,
I think,
you know what? There's a place called Asbury Park around here. I'm just saying, could use a little, feel like that would go over well. In
yeah.
Asbury.
You know, Asbury Park has really grown. And you know, when I graduated college, I want to say, you know, 13 years ago, something like that. It wasn't much going on around here, so I wasn't.
Yeah, different
and,
time.
And
yeah.
And I was just very weary about doing anything at that point, you know,
yeah,
opening
yeah.
anything. But now, Asbury Park is hopping, Red Bank's hopping, Long Branch has got some things
second,
going on.
Man.
So, you know, there's always the future, you know, so, but there's always something out there. And, but dessert has always been my thing. And I'm always like looking to find something bigger and better, you know, like someone makes a chocolate chip cookie, I'm gonna put some caramel and sea salt on that, and you know, like just do something different.
Nice.
You know, just always
oh,
just
man.
You know, thinking, you know, like
start drooling again.
Yeah, yeah, you know. So it's fun.
That's awesome. What's your favorite kind of like what's your favorite kind of cake, like dessert wise?
Favorite cake? I mean,
chocolate.
Always chocolate. Yeah. Chocolate. I don't know. That's just me, though.
You a peanut butter guy?
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good answer, man.
Come on, chocolate and peanut butter can't go wrong.
What's the I want to ask you this because I know it's like, what's the one that's like the dessert that's really hard to make? Is it souffle? Is that it?
Souffle?
Is that the one?
That's a tricky one.
That you got to order like a half hour beforehand or something like that. Have you ever tried that?
You know, I do make those often, actually.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, like, you know.
Is it a pain?
It's a pain, but it's a process, and the reward is when it comes out perfect in the end, and it just it makes you feel good, you know, and
yeah.
Everything worked
so
out.
You make a lot of them, yeah.
Every now and then, yeah, you know, like a lot of people, you know.
What's the issue? They might collapse or something.
So they could collapse. It's a very delicate process as far as the oven temperature, and you know, so the big thing is you know, you set the oven to a low temperature, you bake it, and you take it out.
Yeah.
Wrong. You set the oven to a low temperature, you bake it, you turn the oven off, let it sit in there, and let it slowly come back down to the temperature of the oven. Then
Are
you take it.
Me?
Then you take it out like a half an hour later, because what is happening is it's coming from 300 degrees in the oven to 70 degrees that's in your kitchen. It's going to deflate because
right.
It's all egg whites, all puffed
yeah.
up. It's science. It's all science, which is really cool.
Yeah, chemistry.
You got to be a mad scientist when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's right, man.
I mean, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. So when it doesn't work, you're frustrated. When it does work, it's a happy day, you know?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man. I'm learning a lot here, Dan. All right, dude. Well, Dan, of course, man, thanks for coming on. Thanks for a few minutes. I think we're going to have you back on. We're doing some movie talk and stuff
please.
Like that, man. You know, Dan's got a lot to contribute. Big Star Wars.
Yes,
I think you're going to see Black Panther later tonight, so
we'll
have to talk about
that. Got to nerd out all the time.
Yeah, that's right, man. Good company, bro. And I think Dan might even give us some recipes down the line and stuff like that, so I'll be sure to share those if he's willing to share some of his secrets with us. We'll see.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Dude,
really appreciate
it. Dan. Always a pleasure, my
friend.
Thank
you, yeah.
We're out. Peace.
Right. Bye.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon.com for some great incentives, check out Patreon.com/Bob Culture Podcast. I'd like to thank my newest patrons, Mike and Michelle Vermillion from Sledgepad LLC. Sledgepad is the revolutionary bass drum dampening system that make blankets in your bass drum a thing of the past. I love my Sledgepad and is currently being used by drummers from national acts such as Pink and Collective Soul. Use my code BobMan007 at checkout for a special discount. Check them out at sledgepad.com. Finally, don't forget to support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or give me a like on facebook.com/Bob Culture Podcast.